You might have thought it would never happen, but Switchcast is endorsing a transport company. Whether you're moving a rare collectible, a high-end sports car, or your personal luxury vehicle, Shaughnessy Overland Express delivers with precision, privacy, and respect. This isn't just transport, it's white glove care from pickup to delivery. For over 14 years, they've earned the trust of collectors, enthusiasts, dealers, and owners by offering unmatched service and personalized attention. You'll work directly with their experienced in-house team, ensuring a smooth and private experience without middlemen or surprises. Every shipment is protected with up to $3 million in cargo insurance, offering peace of mind for even the most valuable and rare vehicles on the road. In addition to their enclosed fleet, they've also established a trusted auto transport brokerage service, giving you access to a nationwide network of vetted open and enclosed carriers. Whether you need transport on a route they don't currently operate or their carriers are at full capacity when your schedule demands, they'll still get it done without compromising the Shaughnessy standard of excellence. Same professionalism, same personal touch, expanded flexibility. We are proud at Switchcast to endorse Shaughnessy Overland Express as the official transporter of Switchcast. Visit soexinc.com and tell them Switchcast sent you. We're glad to have you back for Switchcast Season 6. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, here with my co-host, Tyler Sanders, although the roles may be reversed on this first segment. Tyler has got some incredible genius. I gave him an idea, and he rolled with it, so I'm ready to be entertained as much as I think you will be. Our excellent executive producer behind the scenes, Ethan Huffnagel, and our technical advisor is in-house again, Dan Doucette. He may throw in a comment here or there to correct us when we're wrong. That's usually what he does. Switchcast is the podcast where we know what we're talking about, despite evidence to the contrary. The automotive podcast that's not just for car people. That's right. The show where we seek to edify, educate, and entertain in no particular order. And if you enjoy this podcast, you can get more of it on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/switchcast, as well as we'd love it if you support any of our sponsors, or all of them. What is fueling this podcast, Tyler?
Oh, I have got some delicious old bottle style Maker's Mark 46 cask strength. I think it's a little too toasty for you, Doug, but it's
right.
Weak cork pop.
I've got my girly pre-mixed jalapeno pineapple margarita, but it's crafted with Tres Generaciones tequila, nice. Which I love. I'm not much for pre-made drinks, but I like this one. Ethan is not so much a fan.
Not a fan at all. Not a sponsor. I can say that.
Not a sponsor.
Meh.
Yeah.
I give it a meh.
Dan gives it a meh. I maybe irrationally love it, but okay, let's see. What is our warm-up lap here? Going to last segments here, checking my notes. I was reviewing our Google search stats for Switch cars this month, how people find our website, because that's important data. And, you know, the first couple terms that people put in Google to find us is usually Switch cars dealer, whatever. The third most popular term was a VIN number of all the searches.
Oh.
Yes, it was the Lightning Strike GT3 that we talked about on our Patreon bonus segment last week.
Nice.
So many people are after that car. They're searching the VIN and they're coming to our website to find the information that we had prior.
Is the car like sold from the?
No.
Okay.
No, it's still up there. So I think they didn't get the number they wanted like the last round, so they're just kind of rerunning it. I did throw in a bid, but I've been outbid. I bid 45K.
Okay. I mean, for 45K, that would be probably a more successful experiment than your 456.
Yep. Oh, for sure. Let's see. Little story time, Doug story time here real
Ooh.
Quick. I'm not going to say when it was. I made up this story, actually. Totally made it up. But I don't know if you've seen, sometimes you'll see police academy students out on the highway, like learning how to shoot a radar gun or laser gun, LIDAR gun, and measure speed. Have you ever seen that on the highway?
No.
Okay, well, on a road, there was like a dozen of them, and they all were pointing LIDAR guns. And it's a road I know well. It's a 2-lane or 4-lane road and fairly wide open and stuff like that. Good for, you know, speed tests up to the speed limit, of course. And so I was like, this could be fun. So I grabbed a bi-turbo 4-liter AMG GT, which is a look at me car. And I went back to them. I was like, hey guys, what's your high score? They said 60. I was like, it's amateur numbers. They're like, give us 80. I was like, yeah, you just wait. So I looped around, friggin' hammered it full throttle all the way through the gears by them, and went back. And they're all like, yeah, you know, cheering and stuff. And I was like, what'd I get? So 123. Nice. There you go.
Like, I'm out.
You mean 35. You got me at 35, right? Yes, we got you at 35.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, so what are the, can you cite, what laws did I break? You gotta know those. They're like, none. You're going 35. I was like, well, you got to brush up in your laws. Yeah. You got to know what to arrest me for if it actually happened. It didn't, because it's a made up story. But yeah. Figured that story will probably be told forever.
Yes.
In Police Academy. I feel like if they did more things like that, more people would want to be cops. But anyway, can't rely too much on Carfax. The biggest fail I found recently, besides the error with your old 996.
Is that a common thing?
There's often errors. It's not super common. Probably once every 2 or 3 months, I have to file for a correction.
Okay.
Because it actually matters. Collector cars, maybe more, because people are hyper concerned about how many owners a car has. So if it has 5 and actually has 4, it's stupid. But your car shows it had like moderate damage all over.
Yeah, like every panel or something like
that.
And
it was a warranty claim for a mechanical thing, yes. And it just got reported incorrectly. So we're trying to get that corrected now. But the biggest fail recently is an Aston Martin V12 Vantage 7-speed. I was going through the database that our technical advisor created, and I was running all the Carfaxes, and I found one that's listed as a one-owner car, yet it was sold through an auction, registered in 4 different states, and been bought and sold by 2 dealers.
I don't think that math, Doug.
The reason?
Okay.
It was a press car.
Ah, that is... No.
But it's one owner.
Nope. Get out of here.
It's like saying a rental car is one owner. In reality, a press car has had 50 of the worst possible short-term owners on the planet. Automotive journalists.
Oh, man.
Worse than a rental. But anyway, it's a one-owner car. Carfax certified. Yeah. It was sold new with 15,000 miles. Yeehaw. Soul and Spine wants everyone to have a higher quality of life. They specialize in non-surgical options for those who have been told that they need injections or surgery. They offer state-of-the-art techniques that help over 90% of patients become pain-free in just weeks. Starting with thorough medical history and comprehensive examination, you'll work one-on-one with Dr. Hoover to meet all your treatment goals. Their mission is to unleash your body's own healing potential to avoid drugs and surgery. Visit SolonSpine.com to learn more, located in Solon, Ohio. You've all heard of the hot, crazy matrix. Well, we've come up with a hot, crazy matrix for cars, sort of. I came up with this idea in terms of talking about how the depreciation curve works, because I explained to somebody recently that mileage and value have an inverse relationship, because he sent me a like 300-mile Lamborghini Diablo, and I told him what it sold for. That's not in my budget. And so I explained to him that mileage has an inverse relationship to value. He goes, well, find me a 2 million mile one. So that spurred the idea of, let's actually break this down by mileage and how the values shake out, because people are always like, well, if I buy one with 15,000 miles, how many miles can I put on it before I lose my shirt? So I thought, okay, let's make this a science. Tyler took it to a whole new level and just recreated the hot, crazy matrix for cars.
Look, Doug, so you said think hot, crazy matrix for cars, and I did. I followed the assignment. I just didn't read the rest of it.
It was a simile. Let's see Tyler's hot, crazy matrix for cars. And maybe we'll see my explanation on the actual science of things. And if not, we'll save that for a future episode because it's probably going to be more boring than his. So what you got?
Okay. So I'm not going to go through explaining too much of the hot, crazy scale. It is a YouTube video that's got like 10 million views. You can go look it up. It is pretty funny. A lot of things are obviously said in jest. But I apologize, audio listeners, this is a little bit visual, but I'll do my best. I have on this beautiful whiteboard a graph. So along the bottom, we have mileage. This is going from what I've called
the x-axis.
The x-axis is mileage from bad to good. And what that means is that the zero point is what I've called moon plus. We've really, we've driven
the million
this
mile Ferrari.
Yes. Yes. Then it goes in
salvage titles, everything.
Yes. Some stuff has happened. Then it goes 150, 100K, 50K, and then delivery. Just to give you an idea, this is not like terribly scientific. The y-axis is value proposition. So this might be a little confusing, but it essentially goes from good to bad. So this is a great value proposition, a good value, an okay value, a bad one, or they've jumped the shark. Things are really just, we're not having a good time.
So it makes sense because as you go up, it is higher prices.
Yes.
But that is negative for the buyer.
And it's mostly higher prices, but it could just be like they've really peaked, beyond peaked. You know, we're not having a good time.
Sure.
So the first area on this that I'm going to gonna draw out is what we call the no-go zone. So that is going to be... your like moon plus to 150,000 miles, we'll call it, all the way up. Just don't want it. Don't worry about it. Don't buy any cars in there.
Unless you're a YouTuber and you need content.
Yes. That is exactly who is in this, this particular bucket is YouTubers that need content. These are,
and you don't buy it for any price.
No, this Mark Spence loves to live in there. Thrifty mechanics, project car dreamers. It's never going to run, but they got something amazing for like really cheap.
My Ferrari 456 is unfortunately like up here
yes.
in the price thing, but all the way back.
See, Doug didn't listen.
I am
to the chart.
Thoroughly in the no-go zone.
So what we've got next. So I also drew on the chart. Those of you can see is the slope of one line to kind of divide it in two. You want to stay below the line. Above the line after the no-go zone is the danger zone. Do not want to be here. So the danger zone is where the people that drive E60 M5s are. the 944 Kings and Queens. We love some unreliable, expensive cars, but we're 10 years behind the curve, so now they're just expensive and unreliable.
McLaren MP4 12Cs.
Yes, 100%. More money than cents. I'd also put in here every recent buyer in the last couple of years of delivery mile 997 RSs 4.0s. We've jumped the shark. You're so behind. You tried.
But they'd be like way up to the right.
Yes. Then the 997 4.0s are like up here, like delivery miles, jump the shark. We're so out, danger zone. Now below the line, what I will call, from 150,000 miles to like 50,000 is the fun zone. this is where you really want to be. You're going to spend a lot of time here. You're going to have fantastic experiences. But you know that you want to get, you want to move up the chart a little bit. This is enthusiast cars that we all love, just normal folks having a great time. Corvettes, Mustangs, S2000s, 996s and 7s. No bad jokes there. You're just having fun.
And you don't worry about mileage. You don't obsess about it. You can just drive your car and enjoy it. But you can't overpay for those cars either. If you're above the line on the high mileage fun stuff.
Exactly.
Back
gotta
to
be
the
careful.
Danger
That's
zone.
Where you can flirt with the line a little bit, but just stay below.
Only if you're a mechanic.
So then the last piece of our chart here is our goal. So between 50,000 miles in delivery below the danger zone line of value, This is like slept on quirky cars. This is like really great examples of enthusiast cars. Engineers own these. People, midlife crisis cars. There's got to be some Corvettes in here, but this is where you go when you upgrade, and that's how you know you succeeded.
Where's the wife zone? There's a wife zone on the Hot Crazy Matrix.
I think it's this last one. I didn't watch it. The like goal
zone. But quirky
zone
cars are not wife zone. There's got to be a little section
like a little,
right
here, you can
in
take
here.
The, yep.
Right in here.
That's like,
is the wife maybe zone. And that's the cars you keep forever.
Yes,
that is the like the 997 GT3s
yes
that have 15,000 miles and you got for a great price and they only have one previous owner.
Yeah.
Good histories.
Yes.
Not a lot of baggage.
You know, my car is, I think, right on the line. I think 996 GT3s have really like, okay, the value proposition is maybe not as great as it once was, but I'm flirting with the line a little bit. So.
But you got a good car, reasonable mileage, under the jump the shark
yes
price, so you're not in the danger zone.
Wife zone.
Wife zone.
Let's go.
What about the redheads?
Doug, well...
Where are the Ferrari Testarossas on that chart?
Danger zone, Doug.
Danger
zone.
All of them. Just
every
no matter
single
the price,
one.
All of the redheads are in the danger zone.
Yes. Alrighty, so that is the Hot Crazy Matrix of cars.
That is wonderful. All right, let's talk serious a little bit. Well, sort of serious. As a buyer, and how do the values go, right? So the values basically have a reverse hockey stick. So if you start at the, well, for you, the danger zone, but the,
yeah,
the
start in the
crazy
danger zone.
Collector miles, below 500 miles, all of those cars are crazy prices. And of course, you have a bunch of nerds, if you auction it online, asking questions like, have all the seals, bushings been replaced? Have the shocks been replaced? Has the engine been rebuilt with all new seals? You know, has the oil been changed every year? Have you started it, brought it up to temperature 4 times a year? But they're never, ever buying because they actually want to buy a car in the safe zone, the wife zone.
Yes.
But they're looking at these cars that are way out of their price range.
And
they,
I think they think the under 500 miles is the wife zone because they're like, oh, it's practically brand new. But then you've changed so much of it because you need to replace all the seals at this point. It's the car of Theseus. Is it even the same thing anymore?
Yeah. But they don't buy because the actual buyers, they're buying it like Quaker Steak and Lube restaurant. They might as well be draining the fluids and hanging it on the wall because they're yes never going to drive it. They're going to wait for the values to increase and then sell it to somebody else who's never going to drive it. So, and those people typically are not even as concerned about condition as they are mileage because there's a lot of low mile cars that were not stored properly and are kind of rough, but people just want the bragging rights of the mileage. So they trade from collector to collector to collector. The next kind of threshold, right? Those cars should never go over 1,000 miles or it's, you know, you're going to lose your shirt. Next threshold is 5,000 miles. Still pretty crazy prices, but then you get into like the second tier speculators, I mean collectors, who want to drive a car only to a Cars and Coffee that's nearby on a sunny day so that they can brag there about how their car hasn't been driven. It's got super low miles, and then they'll sell it in a few years without putting enough miles on it so that it hurts the value. So they never want to get it above like 6,000 or 7,000 miles because, man, you get 7,000 miles. It's like, oh my gosh, that's high mileage to this group. And crossing the 10K mark would just end of the
cars
world.
Worthless.
Right.
Ruined.
These cars are also like hyper extremes. They're either still with the original owner or they have like 17 owners because they keep going from like collector
yes
to collector. These buyers are hyper concerned about things like paint meter readings, matching numbers, original window stickers, options, whatever, because there's so many of these cars out there that whatever sub 5,000 mile Porsche GT car they buy has to be more special than the next sub 5,000 mile Porsche GT car at Cars and Coffee.
More deviated stitching.
The next
events
value drop is like 10 to 20,000 miles. That's the safest space from a value perspective. That's below your line.
We're visual aid again, guys.
That's not in the wife zone. That's in like the fun zone, the top of the fun zone,
right here,
approaching the danger zone. They're much cheaper cars than sub 10,000 miles, but you can still put some miles on it without concern. The difference between 13 and 17,000 miles is not really that big of a deal. But the owners are always stressed out because they're caught in between their desire to have a perfect sub 5,000 mile car, but without that budget, and their desire to be like the people who drive 50,000 mile cars around and don't care. So it's this constant state of anxiety. And I've seen this firsthand. I tell those people to put a piece of tape over your odometer, but they can't, because if they go past 20,000 miles, boom, values in the toilet. But 25 to like 45,000 miles, that's your wife's own car.
There it is.
These are the best actual deals on the market typically, as they experience pretty significant depreciation from the almost collectible previous group. And a lot of enthusiasts and actual drivers like Tyler fall into this category. You had 35,000 miles on the GT3 you bought. It's a good sweet spot for buyers and sellers, and you can usually buy a relatively fresh car that's not worn out, but also put a bunch of miles on it without taking a big depreciation hit. So if you want to put 15,000 miles on a car, you can do that.
Heck yeah.
But don't cross the 50,000 mile barrier. That's a big one. And I think this is also fed by like Auto Trader and Cars.com, because they have the search thresholds at every 10,000 miles. So if you have 10,100, you lose this entire buyer demographic. Above 50,000 miles, the curve starts flattening because there's kind of a floor to everything. These, still in the fun zone there.
Fun zone.
Right. These typically, the buyers typically, but not always, fall into like the bottom feeder class of the market. The ones that exotic car, they're the cars that exotic car dealers buy from auction, put on the floor without doing any recon or servicing, but they'll happily finance you for 10 years and sell you a $10,000 warranty for peace of mind. The marginally successful crypto bros and highly leveraged fresh grads from exotic car hacks are possibly among the buyer demographic there. So that's a tough dealer model from a seller's perspective. Then you get above 100,000 miles. You're getting almost into the no-go zone.
But I mean, honestly, you're probably in the danger zone in this situation. A very small amount of cars are still in the fun
You'd
zone.
Think these would be the cheapest by a large margin, but the depreciation curve, this is where it flattens out. It's that reverse hockey stick, because there's a law of diminishing depreciation. And so I think these cars go into the danger zone because you're really not saving that much money. They're cheap, but they're not always worth it, because depending on the car, the upkeep starts to become a real thing.
Yes.
And then you have the bottom, the no-go zone, the 200,000 mile salvage slash flood title cars. Now, the problem with these cars is they're definitely not a deal, because a depreciation curve has a dead cat bounce right there, because there's so many YouTubers searching for exciting content and low mile cars that work perfectly just don't get the views. So the worse the car is, seemingly, the more it's worth, because there's only so many ex-repo drug lord hurricane titled McLarens out there, and there's a lot of YouTubers looking for foster cars. So figure out which demographic you fit in, and try to find a car that's in the fun zone or the wife zone for your particular needs.
The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jake Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield all-sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one, on July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All-Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield Well of Clever and Unique Design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine, so get yours at sheffieldwatches.com, and be sure to mention you found them on Switchcast.
It wouldn't be a Switchcast without talking about an epic transporter fail and or a luxury car stolen by a transporter. And lo and behold, we've got a new one. Shaq's Range Rover was stolen by a transporter.
Like Shaq bought it and it's on its way to him, or it was his and it's on the way to somebody else?
He bought it. It was on its way to him to use to attend a game in New Orleans. And he was having custom work done, and it never made it there.
Oh,
this story was a tip from shrewd negotiator Larry. If you also want to be a shrewd negotiator on Patreon and get all the bonus content, you can go to patreon.com/switchcast. And of course, the story is also brought to us by our wonderful sponsor, Shaughnessy Overland Express. If Shaq had used them to transport his car, this would not have happened. Full stop. So let's go into the stories. We are referencing two different media sources, freightwaves.com and the newyorktimes.com, which might have just kicked me out. So I think we'll be using freightwaves.com.
Nice.
Anyway, Shaquille O'Neal's $180,000 Range Rover stolen in suspected transport scam. Authorities say someone may have posed as a transporter to steal the SUV. According to the Lumpkin County Sheriff's Office in Georgia, the Range Rover had been worked on at a custom auto shop in Dahlonega, Georgia. It was purchased from California-based Effortless Motors, which had done some custom work for Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq, to accommodate his, you know, big height. They arranged the transport for Shaq, but the vehicle never reached its destination. It went to Dahlonega first, I believe, to get some of this prep work done. And then it was supposed to get shipped to Louisiana so that Shaq could use it that weekend for an event he was attending. The company that it was dispatched to or hired to do this is First Line Trucking LLC. Now, of course, I always go on brokersnapshot.com and other websites to look these companies up. And I did not find any immediate red flags with First Line Trucking, which on a lot of these previous thefts that we've covered, I've immediately been able to find some issues right off the bat that said, man, there's a red flag with this company. They should never have been hired. The broker, the dealer who hired them is totally negligent. But this company looks reasonably okay. They've been in business for 9 years. They have one truck. They have one driver, one trailer. They have one or two inspections in recent history. Like, everything seems legit for the most part. There's no immediate red flags on this company. They're just a small trucking company, and there's a lot of owner-operators out there. So what happened? How did this get stolen? Our shrewd negotiator, Larry, alleged that given his background and experience, he said, I bet there is a lot of payoffs involved here. And I said, I don't think so. This is all a bunch of organized crime and they are just exploiting loopholes. Nobody needs to be paid off. I don't want to allege that First Line Trucking or Effortless Motors was somehow on the take and involved in this, because I've seen too many good trucking companies and good dealers get scammed themselves in these operations. And I know that they were not on the take. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but there is organized crime behind this, but it's just too easy. It's like low hanging fruit. And I can tell you exactly what happened. One of the articles states that there was this high level security breach. So basically somebody got the information for the pickup, for the shipment, and a trucking company that was not First Line Trucking showed up with enough information to get the Range Rover released to them. We've seen over and over and over again that Central Dispatch, which is a company owned by Cox Automotive, which is a freaking publicly traded company, media giant, has been hacked over and over again, such that this keeps happening. Somebody at some point needs to hold them liable because it's going to keep happening.
Is there a way to like prove the connection?
In terms of them.
Yeah. Central, so like being my car was like stolen and it is directly related to Central Dispatch getting hacked.
I think it would be difficult to say, like, to actually prove, and you're the internet expert. Like, if you're not Central Dispatch, Central has all the data other than the company saying, well, we did the bill of lading on Central Dispatch and somebody showed up with the information. So the only way they could have gotten it, so you could prove it by elimination, but like Central Dispatch isn't going to release their records of a security breach unless you sue them and, you know, a judge forces them to do that.
It just feels like we're stuck in this weird point where nobody can actually prove it. So it's going to keep happening until somebody tries to.
Okay. Yes. Yes. However, I can tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, this could have been prevented very, very easily. First Line Trucking, I can look up their MC and DOT number. The other thing I can do is I can look up their inspections history, and their inspections history shows me the VIN number of the truck and the trailer that is in that inspection.
Okay.
So I know which truck and trailer belongs to them. I don't even have to go that far. If I'm actually booking a load with them, I would request a certificate of insurance from their insurance broker. That also lists the scheduled autos on that COI. So I would know this truck and this trailer with these VIN numbers are registered to this company.
Okay.
So let's say that it was a highly sophisticated scam, and somebody showed up with a similar truck and trailer and a proper bill of lading, and they faked all their paperwork and were like, yes, we are First Line Trucking, which is what these articles allege, which usually that's not the case. Usually it just gets rebrokered to another company, and the person releasing the vehicle isn't even paying enough attention to notice that they're not giving it to the same company that they friggin' dispatched it to. Like, that's how easy it is to steal these cars. But let's give everybody the benefit of the doubt, including the scammers, and say this is a really high-level scam. They hacked into Central Dispatch, got the pickup and delivery info, fabricated a bill of lading, taped the MC and DOT numbers on the truck, which is a red flag, taped the company name on, etc. All the shop who released the Range Rover had to do is look at the VIN number on the truck, compare it to the COI, and if it was different, say, hold up.
Yep.
I'm going to call the trucking company and say, did you have a breakdown? Did you send another truck? This is a red flag. Before we release this, can you confirm? And in the article, it says that First Line Trucking never even, they hadn't dispatched a driver. So, like, it would have been a real easy phone call. They would have called First Line and said, hey, your guy's here. And they would have said, no, he's not.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Boom. End of theft. Prevented. Stopped. 2 minutes.
So this is just the same story that always happens where you need to do a little bit of due diligence. You need to just like sniff a little harder as a part of your sniff test and boom, you're good.
It's slightly different every time, but it always falls under an umbrella of like five or six different things that can be done to prevent it. Even if Central Dispatch keeps getting hacked, all of these scams are preventable. And this one was easy. And the only reason this is getting a whole bunch of attention is because it was Shaq's, right? So, of course, you know, the sheriff's office is making all these public statements. They've gotten search warrants. They've tracked the GPS, which the GPS says it's likely already on a container ship going overseas. So
pretty sure it's gone.
It's gone. But boy, is that sheriff's office on this. And they said, this is funny. I literally, if you just gave me a few clues about this article and said, hey, this car got stolen, I would have said, let me guess, it was a security hack and a different company picked it up and it was a late model Range Rover or Bentley or McLaren and it went to Atlanta and then got put in a container ship, right?
That sounds prediction. Oddly familiar, Doug.
That's what happened. It got delivered to somebody in Atlanta and then it went to a container ship. It's over and over. It's Atlanta, it's Miami, it's New York, Southern California, that's where they get delivered, then they go into containers. But this, we have leads of people on interest out of this location, and we have search warrants, said the sheriff. Let me tell you what. I am ticked off on behalf of every small guy who's had their car stolen and doesn't get the cops to do anything. But because it was Shaq's and because of the media attention, oh man, the cops are on it. They're never going to recover it, but boy, are they on it. They've gotten search warrants versus some of my clients who have had this issue happen. They've gone to police with the like active GPS tracking saying my car, which is stolen, is right here. It's pinging right now. And the cops are like, yeah, we can't really do anything.
That's insanity.
Yep.
Oh,
yep. So there is not equal justice for everybody. But if you're 7'1" and a famous basketball player, you get a little bit more attention. But hopefully this will shine more light on the problem as a whole. Central Dispatch / Cox Automotive will be held liable, or they will do something about it. Goodness knows they have enough money and resources to do it, but they don't respond to anybody's complaints or anything about it. Yeah. And hopefully people will get more wise to stop this stuff and not rely on somebody else to fix it or the cops to recover it, because they're not going to. But this could have been stopped. This could have been stopped with a little tiny bit of legwork by anybody involved in this situation. Anybody. Ugh. This brings us to the props and flops.
Brought to you by Switch Cars. Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where you buy and sell cars that we like ourselves. So check out our handpicked inventory at switchcars.com and mention Switchcast for special pricing when available. Find more information online at switchcars.com or come visit our showroom in Twinsburg, Ohio. And Doug, what is the pick of the week this week?
The pick of the week this week is 2015 Porsche 911 Targa 4S 7-speed manual, 991.1 with 10,000 miles black over tan. It is the first and last of the naturally aspirated Targas with the Targa bar roof instead of the sliding glass squeaky leaky feature on the previous
I have heard
four generations.
You do not want that sliding glass window.
You do not want the sliding glass window. Anyway, our flop of the week is a burgundy Corvette C6 convertible was on a transport truck that got hit by a train. It was an open transporter, so somebody cheaped out. A couple people sent me this video, including our friend Bert, loyal listener. The transporter made a mistake that we often see in viral videos where they went over a raised crossing and high-centered the trailer.
Oh.
And you even see the warning signs. They're an image. So I guess if you can't speak English, you could still, I don't know. But, you've seen those signs where it looks like sparks flying. Yep. And that's to warn you. But anyway, so they high-centered the trailer on a raised crossing, and the train went right through the middle of that trailer and hit the burgundy Corvette C6 1-of-1 dead on. The predictable part of all this is that even though the video was kind of grainy, you could clearly see the driver's Adidas tracksuit as he walked around outside the scene. If you know, you know. There's a stereotype. Rumors are circulating that after the wreck, he was going into local businesses asking if he could use their restroom.
Oh, man.
That's another inside trucker joke. But anyway, our prop of the week, I hate to be commercial, but our prop of the week goes to our transport sponsor, because I mean, the fails. It's a perfect product placement here. Shaughnessy Overland Express. If you want to not have to think about these things, like when they show up, it's a big truck labeled Shaughnessy Overland Express. Nobody can scam that. So you just know that you have peace of mind when they're shipping your stuff. You don't have to have a dealer arrange it for you. You don't have to deal with a broker. You don't have to double check VIN numbers on the trucks. You can just hand it over and let them do it. So next time you're shipping your burgundy Corvette C6 convertible 1-of-1, don't stick it on open transporter with a guy in an Adidas tracksuit. Send it to Shaughnessy Overland Express. Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.